Hello and welcome to the new episode of Code and Beyond, a podcast where we talk about software development and anything beyond that. Cloud-based software is part of our daily life for a long time already. Some products might not be even possible without it. Besides obvious things like apps on our laptops, smartphones, and PCs, there are cloud-connected TVs, refrigerators, keyboards, and so on. While cloud computing definitely provides many great benefits to consumers and software developers, it comes with a certain price. This is not just about money. For consumers, there are questions like privacy and personal information, freedom of choice, necessity to be always connected. For developers, it might mean increased complexity of the things that they work on. Today, we aren't going to fanatically blame or defend cloud computing and cloud-based software, but try to analyze what works and what doesn't work for us personally, what alternatives we use and why, when it makes sense to go cloudless. My name is Alex. I am joined by my good friend, Pablo. Hi, Pablo.
Hey, Alex.
So, what is your opinion? Are you a huge fan of cloud computing, cloud-based software? Do you have a keyboard which is cloud-connected?
I do have one keyboard that I think is cloud-connected, but I didn't use that functionality. Yeah, as always, it depends on the problem that you're trying to solve. Cloud services are great from some use cases. I'm thinking right now, for example, with Heroku. Heroku platform is great, right? If you're starting a new product and you need to develop something quickly and deploy it and show it to the world, Heroku gives you everything. Database solution, hosting solution, everything is easy to set up for a developer, and you can save a lot of energy on the ops side.
Yeah, you don't have to manage all the servers, configure firewalls, do system updates and so on. It just works, yeah.
You have to pay a price for it, of course. but it gives you a lot. But it's also true that for other projects or projects that reach a certain point, the cost is more than the benefit. So sometimes it makes sense to go with your own infrastructure or even something like a VPN that you can rent, install your services in there and manage it because you have the team, you have the skills, or maybe even your product is focused on that area. So it makes sense to do things on your own. Yeah, I don't have a clear answer. Like cloud-based services are great for some use cases and in other cases are not so great. And I guess the same goes for apps or devices, as you mentioned. One example that I can share is the application that I use to take notes, which is called Obsidian. Mm-hmm. Probably a lot of you heard about it. I really like it because it's super simple. So it's based on plain text and markdown files. You write your notes in this interface. In the end, these notes are just raw plain text in markdown. And I don't need any cloud synchronization or anything like that. I usually share these files across my computer. I use an app that you recommended me, Alex, like Sync Thing, that keeps different machines in sync. I don't need a cloud-based system to keep my notes in sync. And it will be overkilling for me, I think. And I don't have to worry about privacy because it's just on my local computer and my two or three computers. I don't know. What did you think about it? Those are the first examples that came to my mind.
Yeah, I guess it depends. And we could look at this cloud-based and cloudless solutions from different perspectives. So from consumer perspective, there's someone who just uses the product, whether it's something hardware like a physical object or device, or just software on whatever smartphone or laptop, but also from perspective of a software developer, someone who builds these things. I like the example with Obsidian and Sync Thing to synchronize files across different machines that you have. I also like this setup. It just works. It's super simple. But I have to admit that it's not for everyone, right? it's like a pro user setup, because you need to know how these things work, and in order to connect two devices, it takes some time. So like for software developer, someone who knows how the software works, it's all good. It's not a problem. But for someone who is not, I don't know, that well with computers, it might be problematic to install something and configure with all these keys and so on.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Answer all those questions. It's not super user friendly, right? It's friendly for, I don't know, system administrators and software developers, but maybe that's the audience for this kind of software. The topic is interesting because there are all these layers, right? They're like different audiences, different types of users for all these products. And these cloud-based systems, it's a trend, right? It's one of these buzzwords. And I have a feeling that sometimes people who create products, they think, okay, this must be cloud-based, so we have to somehow connect it or run it on the cloud. Otherwise, it won't work, it won't sell. Because people would look for this, and like if it's not cloud connected in any way, then it's suspicious. Not for everything, but it's just my gut feeling, basically.
Yeah, that's a good point. That the marketing part, right? Like companies are trying to make everything cloud based because it's the trend.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm not so sure if a user really care if it's cloud synchronized or not. If you think about a mobile app, for example,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, you used to measure stuff or geolocate yourself or whatever. You don't care if it's synchronized with anything. Usually they are by default, right? So if you take the measure of your table in your garden, it's going to appear, it's going to synchronize with your Google Drive or whatever. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, you don't care about that functionality. I don't know.
For me, it's important that people, when they make this choice, when they make this decision to go with the cloud or to go without it, they were thinking about this, right? They spent some time, and that was decision that was done not just because everyone is going, because it's trendy. This could define architecture of your product, right? Design of your product, how it looks. And I think you're right that the end user don't care. Like if it works, if it does what it's supposed to do, like who cares how it runs under the hood,
yep.
Right? Until it works, it works. And if it's connected to the cloud, fine. If it's not, it's also fine. But for people who build this, it's a huge difference sometimes, right? You have to, I don't know, run your servers, or you have to think how this software piece would work without being connected to the internet. But sometimes it opens these possibilities. And example with Obsidian is great, right? Because you just have plain text files on the disk in directory. There is no additional artificial abstractions. Like there is no database which is stored somewhere, and the app synchronizes itself with this database in the cloud. For the user, it just notes, and then you might not even know how they work. The interface takes care of everything. But if you know, it gives you additional flexibility. Then you could decide how these files synchronized, whether with the sync thing or with the Dropbox or whatever tool you use.
Yeah.
You could do some additional processing with these files because it's just text files. Mm-hmm. And you actually don't even need Obsidian to work with them, right?
Yep, you can use Vim or whatever text editor.
Yeah, because it's a text file, you could do all the things you could do with text files. It's the whole world of possibilities, basically, open to you.
And I think that they even offer a cloud solution, right? Now,
yes.
Now I'm just remembering that if you really want to use cloud, they offer the pro version or the paid version, they often offer a cloud solution to sync.
That's right. It's additional service that Obsidian or the company behind Obsidian offers. And yeah, then you could store your files, and then you don't have to care about all these synchronizations. You don't need Dropbox if you don't have it already. You could publish your notes online. They're publicly available, like some of them, if it works for you. In this case, it's an extra service, which you have to pay for because the people behind Obsidian need to pay for servers, at least, right?
I guess so.
And buy some food. So that's a great example that sometimes it's fine to go, like to be local just on one device and still have this cloud-based option.
I think a lot of people migrated to Obsidian because of that, because of the simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
If you compare it with other note-taking tools like GoodNote or Evernote or whatever, mm-hmm. at least for me, it looks much simpler than the rest of tools available.
When you make a decision to start maybe start locally, have no connection to the cloud. It also affects architecture of whatever software you build. And the other way around, if you run it in the cloud, yes, it gives you this infinite computational power, gives you almost infinite space to store whatever you need to store. Like there are cloud-based databases of different types and flavors. But all of this also increases complexity of this software.
Yep.
Already network calls here and there, which might fail sometimes. For the software developer, it's a different type of testing strategies because, let's say, these databases are cloud-based and they exist only in the cloud. You cannot run them on your local machine. That's why the common strategies for testing software might not be applied at all. And you need additional software, or sometimes you have to build it, or you have to emulate some things. And emulation, it's usually not 100% what you have when you run in production, and so on. So it's additional things to take care of. If you just think that cloud will solve all your problems, it's not, unfortunately.
It changes your problem, right? It swifts attention to other place.
Yeah. It will solve, of course, a bunch of problems that you might have, but it gives you another set just of different shape and colors, as usual with all software stuff.
It reminds me a little bit discussion around the single page application versus plain HTML.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the product that you're building and the stage of your product, it can be totally right to go with a plain HTML views without much JavaScript on them. It happens plenty of time that you go straight ahead with a single page framework or something like that, which is super powerful and is going to give you a lot in the front, but maybe you don't need it until, I don't know, maybe never.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we developers are super eager to jump into the last technology, last framework.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that the issues that you're talking about this cloudless or cloud, everything in the cloud approach.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the same like in the front end framework, back end frameworks, or architecture in general, even database design, right? I'm going to go with this super new database that allows key based storage and relational and everything and send events and that's everything. And yeah, and you're just storing some relational data that is not super complex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it relates to another topics. I can see. Share problems.
Right. What kind of things you use which are cloud-based, and that's the reason why you use them? That's the whole point. It gives you this super cloud-based heaven power. And other way around, what things you use because they are not connected to anything and just on your local machine? So Obsidian, that's the obvious choice. What else?
Yeah, I could also say IDEs.
Mm-hmm.
I can see another trend now, like cloud-based IDEs, where you just upload your configuration files and maybe Docker image and everything is there for you and your team. I'm not a big fan because, as I mentioned plenty of times, I'm a Vim user. I like to develop everything locally, and I really like my environment to be super fast.
Mm-hmm.
Network latency is not for me, and I usually work on not super fast connections.
Mm-hmm.
I live in rural areas and I move around quite a bit, so I cannot rely on super, super fast connections. So IDEs is one that I'm a bit reluctant to use the cloud version of IDEs or editors. Cloud-based solutions that I really like, as I mentioned, Heroku, I think is a very good example of a cloud-based solution that works really nice.
I also like Heroku, and I think it's a brilliant idea, cloud-based IDEs. I was trying to guess what's the purpose. It's not necessary to just use Vim to edit files. There are a bunch of other local editors which are great and they battle tested for decades, some of them. But still people try to build cloud-based, like something which runs not on your machine. What's the idea? I guess it's also this simplicity, right? That you could just share code with someone. You don't need any development environment. You could use basically any device which is connected to the internet and you work with your code. This is simplicity for customer.
Yeah.
But then I also think, is it really simplicity or it's the way fight complexity that cloud provides. It's because it's trickier now to get access to files. Now it's all somewhere. There might not even be physical disk where the file is located. Then it runs on Docker image with connected volume behind all other layers. So you cannot just get access to it. There's no such thing as a file anymore.
Yes, tons of obstructions that you cannot follow all of them, right? When you go to these cloud-based systems, it's like layers and layers of obstructions. So you have to trust the system and focus on the task.
Yeah, and because of this, normal, regular editors, they won't work because they need file on the disk. Even if the disk is remote, it still should be something physical, so to say. But because there is no physical file anymore, you need another editor for this. Maybe that's the reason. So of course, it's just a guess. You never know. But let's see how it goes.
Well, in theory, it should bring some benefits. Well, or
of course,
not. It depends. It depends how you see them. If you have everything set in these cloud IDs, the whole team will share a configuration, so everybody will have the same setup and everything, which can be good or bad. Because if you're a picky person and you really want your setup to be super specific, it's not going to work for the rest of the team. It doesn't matter if it's cloud or not.
Mm-hmm.
Then connectivity, I guess cloud-based IDs, they don't have to have connection 100% of the time.
Yeah, it should survive without internet for some time.
Yeah, that's what I guess. In theory, I guess you have access to super powerful machines.
Mm-hmm.
So you can buy as many cores as you need, as many memory as you need.
If we summarize, I think if you build something right now or thinking about building something, please make this decision, whether it's cloud-based, local-based, cloudless, I don't know what's the term. Try to think what makes sense, right? Sometimes literally plain text file works the best and it won't solve all the problems, but it might not bring additional problems, like additional complexity. Especially if you just start, maybe like super simple things, they're the best because you could play with your idea. You could see how it actually works much faster. And I cannot imagine anything simpler than just plain text file and directory where this file is located.
Yep, unbeatable.
Okay, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. In case of any questions, simply send us an email at codeandbeyond@protonmail.com. You will find this address in the show notes. If you are listening to our show on Spotify, don't forget to leave us a rating. Keep being amazing. Bye.
Bye.